In January 2013, the pink sequestration hits.
That's right.
Under the law, the companies have to give their employees 60 days notice, and if they don't, they have to pay them 60 days of wages. So the Department of Labor under the Obama administration is telling the companies you don't have to abide by the law. This is ridiculous. This makes Eric Holder look like a good lawyer.
That's Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina on Fox News today, complaining about what you just heard, Labor Secretary Hilda Solis talk about. She has sent notice. She sent a guidance out to defense contractors saying that she does not believe that it is yet time to tell defense workers that their jobs are on the line. With us to talk about this, to continue talking about this topic, is Dan Beck, a communications director from Boeing Defense Space and Security. And Congressman Javier Becerra, representative of California's 31st District and vice chair of the House Democratic Caucus. Welcome to both of you. By the way, I also earlier today spoke to Senator Reid's office. Senator Reid has sent a statement to me and asked in as part of a request that I made and said the following. There are, quote, there are few Republicans wandering around the country stirring up things on sequester. And we could avoid the sequester tomorrow if Republicans decide to cooperate, end quote. And those are words from Senator Harry Reid. Dan Beck from Boeing. Is it time to send out these WARN notices to defense workers?
Well, we're at a position right now where we don't have enough information from the government as to where the cuts are going to fall if sequestration becomes active. So at this point, we're not in a position to accurately predict how it would impact us and when and whether we would be issuing those WARN notices. But having said that, sequestration certainly does put at risk thousands of jobs.
How many jobs for Boeing would it put at risk?
We really don't know at this point because, again, we don't know what specific programs would be cut or eliminated, for that matter. But given the enormity of the cuts that are envisioned under sequestration, it would be thousands at Boeing and across our supply chain and our fellow defense contractors.
What do you say to Senator Lindsey Graham, who's saying that you're in violation of the law if you don't send out those notices?
Well, we've seen the guidance that's come from the Department of Labor this week, and they said that it would be inappropriate to send those notices. Our position at this point is that we're not in any position to accurately predict whether and when we would issue those notices.
Congressman Javier Becerra represents California's 31st District right here in Los Angeles. He's also the vice chair of the House Democratic Caucus. First of all, Congressman, thank you for being with us today.
Mario, good to be with you and Dan.
Is this much ado about nothing, or is there a real danger here of hundreds of thousands of workers across the board being given pink slips?
Well, it is something. There are consequences to the sequester, and Republicans and Democrats alike knew that in voting for the sequester or supporting the so-called sequester that we were.
Did we lose the congressman? Yeah, we lost. Okay, we lost the congressman. We hope to get him back. So let's go to the phones and hang on with us, Dan Beck. We'll come back to you in just a second. Gordon from Santa Monica also wants to weigh in this conversation. Gordon, you're on KPCC.
Gentlemen, I think you've got only three quarters of the pie here. And
okay.
I don't hear anybody really sticking to the other side. The Republicans are definitely going to take up the gift of sequestration and use it like a baseball bat against Democrats. It's obvious that's happening, and this is all dancing until the moment of truth.
And Gordon, would you dare to predict how it's going to end up?
Republicans are going to succeed because they're smarter than the Democrats.
And succeed at what? I mean, do you think that there is sequestration, or do you think...
No, the defense budget is going to stay high. We're going to be building things that blow up and destroy themselves and don't make useful products.
Gordon, thank you for your call. Congressman Vecetta is back. We had trouble on the line, Congressman. I had asked you if this was much about do about nothing, and you were saying that this is there are definitely some real consequences to the vote that was taken last year or earlier this year.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I got cut up, but anyway, yeah, there are consequences, but Republicans and Democrats alike knew if they vote. By the way, I voted against this bill that created the sequester process, but those who voted for it understood, Republicans and Democrats alike, that they were calling for sizable across-the-board cuts, not just to the military, but to education services, to transportation investments, and all the rest. And it's going to be a little painful, no doubt about it. But in terms of giving the 60-day notice, no, I think Republicans are trying to spook people. The reason you have a law that requires companies, defense companies, to give notice to their workers 60 days in advance is so that we wouldn't see what we used to see in the old days, where companies would lay people off with 24-hour notice. And this is to at least give workers a chance to understand that in two months they've got to have another job. But in this case, sequester could be totally avoided, whether for defense or education or anything else, if Congress just did its work and came up with alternatives to the deep cuts and whatever the programs might be. So, Mario, there's a quick way to resolve this. The Congress just has to do its work, and we have such a dysfunctional Congress that it's hard to believe that we could get bipartisan agreement to try to come up with an alternative to the sequester.
We are also speaking to Dan Beck. He's the communications director of Boeing Defense, and to you at 866-893-5722. 866-893-5722. Mr. Beck, have you considered, how you would make cuts and at what level if you had to? I mean, is there a contingency plan at Boeing? Should this sequester actually take place?
Well, we've been anticipating fairly deep defense cuts for some time, over the last several years, even in advance of this latest round of cuts coming out of the Budget Control Act, as well as the looming sequestration. So we've been taking steps within our company, affordability initiatives to bring down costs and make us competitive in other areas. There are some growth markets, cybersecurity and unmanned systems and other programs, as well as international opportunities for us. But we do take this very seriously. We are very concerned that what this is going to end up doing is really impairing our ability to do these very complex systems that are so vital to national security, but also our technological leadership around the world. So where are we going to place engineers graduating from Caltech there in Pasadena, as well as other engineering schools, highly skilled, highly paid machinists and other professions that support aerospace? What are we going to do there? And so we want to, we're emphatic that sequestration can have a devastating effect, and that they need to find a way to avert sequestration through a balanced approach that addresses the broader fiscal issues facing the nation.
Congressman Vecetta, you just heard from Gordon, right, from Santa Monica, who I don't know if we were able to hear him, actually, because we were off the air for a second, but who basically said that this is a political game that the Democratic Party has basically lost already. I mean, were Democrats duped into buying into a deal that now is going to be almost impossible to implement?
I understand what Gordon's saying, because too often I don't think Democrats have had the spine to stand up to some of these Republican political games of chicken and the hostage taking. But I wouldn't agree with him that the outcome will be a victory the way Republicans want. I think in this case what we need is a victory where we come out with a sensible national security policy, where we fund the Department of Defense the way it needs to be. I mean, remember that Ronald Reagan in his second term cut the Department of Defense the same amount, the same size, relatively, as what is proposed in the sequester. So it's not as if this is unheard of and not doable. The thing is that you don't want to do it in a way that's across the board with a hatchet. You want to try to make sure you're making sensible reductions and keeping the most important projects moving forward, so we're protecting our national security. But remember, Mario, as you probably are aware, the U.S. spends more on military than do the next 20 biggest spending countries combined. Our GDP, we devote almost 5% of our GDP to military ends. Compare that to the average of about 2% for all other nations. In fact, if you look at the NATO countries, our allies, they spend less than 2% of their GDP on average on military, where we spend about, as I said, close to 5%. If we just ask those NATO countries to help pay us back for the over 300,000 troops that we have stationed worldwide protecting essentially those NATO countries, we wouldn't have such large deficits. So there are ways to get this done so that we can reduce the size of our military footprint without risking the national security of the American people.
I think it's also important to remember that there's almost $500 billion in defense budget cuts over the next 10 years, independent of what's envisioned in sequestration. That's law coming out of the Budget Control Act of last year. And so this would actually lay on another $500 to $600 billion in defense cuts in non-defense areas as well. So we're talking about a severe hit to national security, but also our ability to maintain a defense industrial base in this country that's going to enable us to meet the needs of our military. And I think we've heard that from Secretary Panetta and other officials that this is going to have catastrophic effects on national security, and we need to keep that in mind.
Let's go to Tracy from Irvine. Tracy, you don't believe that the 60-day notice is necessary at this point?
No, I just wanted to say that I've been through several layoff periods as an employee of a defense company back in the late 90s when the defense budgets were going down, and now recently as the supplementals have gone away. And the 60-day notice is not a requirement for a layoff unless the number of employees being laid off is over a threshold.
That's all. Thank you for that reminder, Tracy. That is true, right, Congressman? It only applies to large layoffs, or does it apply to large companies?
Well, that's what I was trying to explain, is that if the sequester is addressed in ways that are smart, we won't be seeing these massive layoffs. If it's done in silly ways, there could be an impact to any particular company that's got large defense contracts, but there is no requirement that any of these companies send out any notice at this stage because it's unclear what would happen. Remember, this law that's in place was so that a company that was preparing to shut down or to move overseas to fire its employees, that they would not just do overnight and leave all these employees stranded. It was to give them some notice. I know of no one. Dan has not said that his company is planning to move overseas or shut down. And so that, for that reason, these notices are not required. Now, there may come a time that some of these contractors may find that they are going to lose a significant amount of work if the sequester were to go through, and then they make the prediction or the calculation that they have to close down certain operations, in which case, at that point, knowingly, they have to give the 60-day notice. But those are lots of steps between now and then.
Let me ask.
That's correct. We've made contingency plans based on this $1 trillion cut. So we will do things that we need to, but it's too early in the game, and there's too little information for us to decide where we will make cuts, where we will consolidate facilities and the like.
Let me ask you both a big picture question here. Let's say peace were to break out tomorrow, or let's talk about something a bit more realistic. Clearly, technology is advancing in a way that we need less and less expenditure in defense. Are we in the position that was predicted a couple of decades ago that we need a certain military industrial complex in order to maintain a job base? I mean, is there a plan should either peace break out or should technology make it possible that we don't need as much hardware as we do right now? Let's start with Dan Beck, a communications director from Boeing.
Well, it's hard to envision a situation where peace is going to break out and eliminating the need for these kind of programs. The threats that we face are enduring, and the capabilities that we need to meet those threats are enduring. And if you start dismantling wholesale, your ability to develop the machines and the systems that the men and women of the armed forces need to carry out their missions, it becomes extremely costly to reproduce those capabilities.
Well, Mr. Beck, I obviously was being facetious about peace breaking out, but let's talk about the other part of my question, which was technology advancing, so we need less hardware. I mean, are there plans at Boeing, should in fact, you know, the military or, you know, part of your overall budget continue to diminish to continue to have some kind of job base?
Well, I'll tell you, even the development of those new technologies requires an investment in research and development, in training, and reaching out and creating an environment where people are going to want to come to work for these companies to engage in these future programs. So we need to make sure that we're funding these programs at the appropriate level, and that's what we're looking for in this. And we feel that sequestration is going to have a devastating effect on our ability to do that future R&D.
Congressman Vecera, are we locked into a military-industrial complex for good? I mean, the idea that a sequestration of the military budget could cause this much economic damage, I think, is waking a lot of people up to the economic situation that we find ourselves in.
Well, let me agree with Dan that we need to continue to make the investments in R&D and to stay ahead of the rest of the world. And the reason we haven't seen the types of attacks here at home the way some countries have is because we have the best technology, the best trained military, and the smartest people trying to keep us safe. And so we have to always stay ahead of everyone else. And that does cost money. And that's smart investment. But what we have to recognize is we're going to have a smaller, smarter, swifter force. Whether it's Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, or whether it's the folks in the industries and the folks that really help us build the systems that keep us safe, they'll all tell you the same thing. You can't continue to have a military footprint that's so big and so expensive at a time of scarcity. And so
right.
We will have to downsize. But we can't continue to be the cop for free for the rest of the world. Somebody's either going to have to pay us for what we do,
or we're
going to have to cut
down. We are almost out of time. I hope to have you both on again soon. Thank you very much for being with us today, Congressman Javier Vecera, Dan Beck from Boeing. And thank you for your calls. This is Mario sitting in for Pat Morrison. When we get back, does chivalry still exist, or did it ever?